Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
Oh, come all you faithful. What a great song that again reminds us of the season we're in and fitting for the message today. Well, I love the Christmas season once everything sort of quiets down a little. Isn't it crazy how doing a lot of really good things can be so busy and cause so much chaos at times in our lives? How many feel ready for the Christmas season? I love you guys. You pop those hands up really quick. That's amazing. There's a bunch of us there. Some are really ready. Some are going, oh my goodness, it's only 2 weeks away. And others are going, we're okay. Well, Christmas is full of expectation. For many, there are the list of Christmas gifts that we have or have been given to us. And there's the excitement on both sides, the giving and receiving of those gifts. Well, I feel so good when the present that a loved one wants is exactly what they receive, and both the giver and the recipient of the gift is indeed pleased. Now, I'm sure there are times when the reality of a gift, a request, a need did not meet or fulfill that expectation. And when that takes place, people may feel disappointed or sad. Well, you see, in some cases, the ability to meet the need was not out of the person's desire, but more out of the lack of resources or the lack of power to carry out or follow through on that request. You see, we tend to put our faith in people that are being asked for the gift, or the giver tries to do everything in their own power to carry out or follow through on that request. And when the need is not met, there is disappointment, and there still are times when that need or request is not met. Why is it that the expectations of gifts and miracles work out well in some situations, and then in another setting, it just does not happen? Well, as we look at Scripture today, we'll learn more about the faith required to see God work in our lives and then also to those that we come in contact with. We continue in our Sunday morning series. We find ourselves in the book of Matthew again today, chapter 17. And it's the account where Jesus heals the demon-possessed boy. And the verses are from verses 14 through 20. And they read like this. It says, "At the foot of the mountain, a large crowd was waiting for them. A man came and knelt before Jesus and said, 'Lord, have mercy on my son. He has seizures and suffers terribly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't heal him.' And Jesus says, 'You faithless and corrupt people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me.' Then Jesus rebuked the demon in the boy, and it left him. And from that moment on, the boy was well. Afterward, the disciples asked Jesus privately, 'Why couldn't we cast out that demon?' And Jesus says, 'You don't have enough faith. I tell you the truth, if you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, "Move from here to there," and it would move. Nothing would be impossible." We thank God for the reading of His Word today as we allow the Holy Spirit to speak into our lives. The title of the message today, our thoughts today, is "What is your level of faith?" Pastor Dennis ended chapter 16 last week, and Pastor Marie will share at a later date on the first portion of that chapter of Matthew, number 17, verses 1 through 13. But I do need to give a little bit of reference to give these verses some perspective. Verse 14 says, "At the foot of the mountain." Another version says, "When they came to the crowd." Well, what is this mountain? What took place on this mountain? Matthew 17, verses 1 through 13, speaks about the transfiguration, where Jesus takes three of the disciples, Peter, James, and John, to the mountain. And it was here that these disciples had this amazing mountaintop experience where they saw Jesus with Moses and Elijah. Well, this had to be one of the highlights in the earthly journey for each one of these disciples. What a fantastic spiritual experience of being with Jesus. And now as they head down the mountain, They have to contain their excitement, and they're not supposed to share this experience with anyone. And it's in this context that we start our verses, which we just read in verse 14. Well, here, at the foot of the mountain, let's say reality kicks in again. The mountaintop high settles really fast into the valley lowlands with earthly issues. The joy and wonder of the Christmas season can settle fast into the cold and weary months of January and February. Well, how are we to deal with the everyday things that we live in when needs are coming our way? How are we to respond to those needs? Well, allow me to suggest several points that will help us to have that level of faith to see God work in our lives and then those around us. Let me say that faith is first. Faith has to come first. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says that, "For by grace are we saved through faith, and not that of ourselves. It is the gift of God." You see, in every aspect of our life, we need to have faith in God. The high points where we place faith in God are needed to exercise faith at the various levels along the journey. One writer, in reference to the transfiguration, he says, "The transfiguration is an end in itself, but it's also a means to service. It prepares us for going out and meeting the needs of a corrupt world. God wants us to meet with us daily for our own soul's nourishment, but he also wants to send us out to meet the daily needs of a crying world. He wants our private attention and fellowship, but he also wants to send us out to give attention and godly fellowship to a lost world." Last Sunday, Pastor Dennis challenged us to be totally, totally committed to God and to give ourselves completely to him. And for many of you, that was a high moment of responding to the Holy Spirit. And you said, "I'm going to be fully committed to God." Well, the great aspect of putting faith first and being committed to him is that you and I, because of that decision, we do get to spend eternity with God by accepting Jesus in our lives. Now, the fully committed and complete parts, those are the parts that need to get lived out each and every day. Folks, it's more than the Christmas season. It's more than going to church once or twice a month. It's about putting faith first all the time, putting faith first forever. And you see, as believers, our responsibility is to give from ourself in our own lives first, and then extend to the world around us for a world to see the active power of God at work in us and in the world around us. The result of a godly spiritual encounter should enable us to be ready to take on the world, be ready for what comes our way. But it's amazing when we see Jesus and the disciples coming down from the mountain. What do they encounter so quickly? They encounter the crisis and situation that's going on in the community. And I say, am I ready to respond with a godly response to the needs that are coming your way, to those everyday circumstances and requests coming your way? Verse 15, we read, the Father comes to Jesus with his need. He wants his son to be healed. Well, Jesus rebukes the demon, and from that moment on, the boy was well. Before just moving into a few more of the details of Jesus' response, I would like to mention two things. I would like to say that individuals that have epilepsy or dealing with seizures or outbreaks today do not mean that they are demon-possessed. This is an illness. Secondly, from this passage, we need a family faith. Folks, the father didn't give up with his son. He persevered until there was an answer. And I say, friends, don't give up on your family. You may have to bring them. You may have to pray for them. You may have to support them. But don't give up. Persevere with your family. We know that there's support all around us. I believe that PPC is a great place for our kids, for our youth, for our young adults. But family faith has significant influence and impact. So I say, persevere for your children, Persevere for your spouse, your parents, your siblings, your relatives. Persevere for them. Have that family faith for your group, for your relatives. Moving on now, while Jesus did heal the boy, and the boy and his father went away rejoicing, well, Jesus made a point of speaking very firmly with the disciples and those listening in the crowd that day. While Jesus confronts the lack of power with the disciples in the crowd, we need to realize that there was a person in need with expectations who did not get their needs met. You and I need to realize that as believers, for those who know that we believe in God, there are points in people's lives when people need a supernatural work. When they need God to do a miracle, to bring down a stronghold, to provide a healing, to bring about reconciliation, whatever the need is, and it may come down to them talking or reaching out to you and I, we get to be that point of contact. The disciples were the first point for the man and his son, and Scripture records that the healing did not take place. Jesus declared in verse 17, he said it was due to the faithless and corrupt, resulting in the lack of power in the healing. The words were directed towards the disciples, and it sure sounds like Jesus admonishes them or puts them in their place. Can I just say that as tough as correction can be, I believe there's another teaching moment for us today, right here. You see, when the disciples were corrected, Scripture records that in verse 19, that the disciples came back to Jesus privately and asked him, why couldn't we cast out the demon? I might be reading a little bit into this, but when corrected, I don't get the inference that the disciples went away and huddled away and started doing all of this, or they said, well, take me to the mountain next time and then we'll see. I don't get that feeling. I believe that this shows a genuine care and desire to fulfill what the disciples felt was their calling. Jesus' response was, you don't have enough faith. Hey, friends, we don't get it right all the time. We do need guidance. We do need correction. We need to repent. We need to seek forgiveness and to grant forgiveness. Well, these were the disciples, believers of Jesus Christ. And Jesus was saying to them, you don't have enough faith. And there's another version that says it's because of their unbelief. Well, friends, when there's unbelief and little faith, we tend to blame other people around us. But really, it needs to come back to ourselves. It's we're not trusting or seeking God like we should diligently. You see, it's my responsibility to take steps that keep my relationship, that keep your relationship with God at its best. Unbelief is there. We need to realize that our faith needs to be first. And I say, find your mountaintop experience. Find your place where you can be strengthened in your walk with God. And that little faith, that unbelief can be strengthened. One person said that unbelief or faith, it sort of points back to ourselves, and it says that we doubt Christ himself. Well, we question God's power in a situation. Can he really heal? Can he really meet the need? Or we doubt the power of God in ourselves. Remember, we as believers, we have the power of God available to us. There's other times when we doubt our own faith, that of that confidence and dependence on Christ. We may even doubt if the healing or the miracle is God's will. Where is it our place to do that? Let's remember that it's not up to us to decide if it's God's will for someone else. I was given this poem just yesterday, and it says, doubt sees the obstacles, faith sees the way. Doubt sees the darkest night, faith sees the day. Doubt dreads to take a step, faith soars on high. Doubt questions who believe, faith answers, I. You see, the disciples had seen miracles and healing take place, and Jesus says, why do you still not believe? Well, as a believer, as a follower of Jesus Christ, we've put our faith in God, but when it comes to exercising faith, is it possible that at times we have what I would say a frozen faith? If I can illustrate it this way, there's time after a long day or whatever, you get home and you're looking for some nourishment, some food on the counter or in the fridge, and I realize that there's nothing ready. But guess what? I'm hungry. I'm in need. I wanted the meal to be ready. Now, there may be some food in the house, but it's frozen. It's in another part. It's in the refrigerator. That meal, that food, that nourishment is frozen, and it certainly won't meet my immediate need or fulfill the desire right now in the moment. With that simple thought, is it possible that as believers, someone has come to us at a point of need, and we spiritually freeze? We go, I'm not prepared for that, or that's a Pastor Marie call, or is there someone else here more ready to respond? We might go, I need backup. Where's grandma? Where's a board member? Or we may go, wow, that's really big. I wish I'd got to the mountaintop and been more prepared. But folks, whatever those responses are, it's pointing back to ourselves. And that's not where it should be. I speak for this guy, this person here, and there's no doubt I've missed some amazing moments that God was willing to use me. And you're no different than probably myself. There's times when we've missed what God wants to do. He wanted to work a miracle, but I was too busy, too distracted, worrying about my own things that need to be done. Not ready. And the list, we can come up with excuses all the way. Also, if there's sin in our lives, it keeps us from experiencing the full power of God. We need to ensure that our lives are free from sin so that the power of God can flow. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hebrews 12:1 says, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off the sin that so easily entangles us and run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Keeping our lives free of sin, living our lives in pursuit of godly things, having spiritual priorities will allow the power of God to be free in our lives. You see, the encouragement and the challenge is to be ready, to be prayed up, to jump right in and believe in the miracle that God desires to do. Now I say, do we gravitate? I mentioned Pastor Marie a few moments ago. Do we gravitate to certain people to pray? Absolutely. But guess what? Those are the people that are in the Word. Those are the people that you see in church praising. When there's a prayer meeting, guess who's there? Those are the people that are there. When there are special Holy Spirit nights, praise and worship nights, are they at home? Nope. They're right here, praising, worshiping God. So why do we go to them? Because they are ready to seek God for themselves, and now they're seeking God for others. Well, I don't believe God just has that for a select group that sits over here or sits near the front there. God desires that for you and I. He wants to do amazing things through us so that he receives the glory. And I say, I trust that you want to be one of those individuals. Stay in church. Go to connected prayer. Seek God. Come out when worship and praise opportunities are there. 1 Peter 3:15 says, instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if anyone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. Let's be ready to share the word, to be present with someone in their time of need. We know that God is there. Psalm 46 says that God is an ever-present help in the time of need. But I trust that we want to be there when a person is in need, when a person is there asking. We say, God can work in your life. Does God need me? Does God need you? I don't think so. God's power is not dependent on Rob or yourself. But I do believe that people are brought along my pathway to see God glorified and people come to know him. People will come across my path that will never cross yours, and vice versa. People will come across your path that I will never meet. If both of us are prepared, ready spiritually, more people get to experience God and see healings and deliverance in their lives and the power of God at work in them. When Jesus said those words to his disciple, while firm, I believe there's also a sense of, hey guys, you saw the healings, you saw deliverance. I don't need to be physically present all the time. You can see amazing things work in people's lives. Earlier in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask anything in my name and I will do it. Folks, I trust that we get it straight, that it's not us who are doing the miracle. It is God who does the healing, who does the deliverance. We are just the ones that he is working through. And we need to keep our lives open to what God wants to do. I do believe that as we exercise faith over and over, it does build us up even more. That our faith is increased when the next opportunity, when the next time comes along, when that next spiritual appointment is there, I believe we're more ready and open to say, God, you did it before. I know you're going to do an amazing thing in this person's life. You see, sometimes we make it about ourselves. In our eyes, we think we have enough faith. I go to church when it fits my schedule. I financially support when there is extra. I have accepted Christ. I don't have time to get involved in ministry. Or someone else is better at praying than I am. Someone else has that gift. I think I have enough faith. I believe that I am good. Let me illustrate it this way. In the past, maybe in the present, when driving the vehicle, I would let the gas gauge get pretty close to the empty mark before getting to gas up. And there were a few times when I ran out of gas. Now, that was a pretty concise part of the story. If you talk to Ruby, you may get the longer version of that. We see, I had to scramble and had to work something out, and sometimes it was uncomfortable. No doubt you've heard the expression, and Ruby reminded me often, Rob doesn't think the E is for empty. Rob thinks the E is for enough. Well, folks, the E, the enough, only gets you to a certain point and will only allow you to go a short distance from here to there, and then you find yourself, oh my goodness, where's the next guy? You find yourself in a panic, frantically looking for the next stop. From a human perspective, there is never enough faith. We need to ensure that it's not about my effort, about our justification, about our rationale of how things should be with God. It is not about us putting faith in our own abilities or other people. It is putting our faith in God. What is it we need to do? Have faith, believe in God's power, believe that God is going to show up to do the impossible. Jesus responded to the disciples in verse 20. He says, I tell you the truth. If you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible. What level of faith should we have? We need a formidable faith that is free to respond on every occasion. Am I talking about a great measure of faith in our human eyes? No, because Jesus just said, faith as small as a mustard seed. So the key is where my faith is being placed, where our faith is. Putting it in God is the key. We need a faith that is in a formidable God, a faith that is in him, no one or nothing else. A formidable faith says, my faith is in a great big God. If my faith is in God and Jesus, wonders can still take place. Miracles can still happen. Not in your abilities, but in my confidence to see that God is able to meet the need, to do the miraculous, to accomplish what humanity sees as impossible. Hebrews chapter 10, 23 says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. We can count on God to come through on his promise through our faith in him. Things will work out according to his plan, to his purposes. Psalm 135 says, I am counting on the Lord. Yes, I'm counting on him. I have put my hope in his word. And 1 John 5:14 says, and we are confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. So our focus should be on how great our God is, and I believe in him. Not about whether you have giant faith or not. It's whether you have a giant God and whether you believe in that amazing, all-powerful God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 20 says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. It's not my power, but I can be strong and powerful as you put your faith in God. You and I are the instruments. We rely on God, but he desires to use each and every believer to make an impact to the world that he's placed us in. There's another mountaintop experience when Jesus went back to heaven and he left with a promise. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 16, Jesus said, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. Acts chapter 3 records this story of Peter and John with the lame man at the Gate Beautiful. That's the same Peter and John that came down from the mountain transfiguration we read about in our text this morning. And Acts chapter 3 shares these words. It says, as they met the lame man looked at them eagerly expecting some money. But Peter replied, I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. The people were amazed and went to them, Peter and John. But verse 12 says, Peter saw his opportunity and addressed the crowd. And he says these words, people of Israel, what is so surprising about this? And why stare at us as though we had made the man walk by our own power or godliness? For it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob who has brought glory to his servant Jesus by doing this. Through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes. And it reads that Peter proclaimed the message of salvation that day as a result of this healing. See, folks, as we place our lives in God's hands fully, completely, he does give power and strength. We are called to believe and have faith in God. As I close today, there's another point that I would like to make reference of. It just goes along with the alliteration for today. And it's faith forfeited. While the opportunity is there to know God, like right now as you listen, to experience his Son Jesus Christ, to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, is it possible that we forfeit or give up the opportunity to know God and have him work in us? I've played a lot of sports in my lifetime, and it hasn't happened often, but there were a couple of occasions when players or participants just were not there at the appointed time. They did not even make an attempt to be at the game. And the end result is that the game had to be forfeited. They lost. I say lovingly, respectfully, I trust that this is not the case for PPC, but the opposite. You choose to show up. You choose to get involved. You choose to be ready. You choose repentance. You choose to put your faith in an almighty God. You choose to make God a priority all the time, not just at Christmas, Easter, at a baby dedication, or a water baptism. Folks, being at church like today, being involved in prayer meetings, those are the mountaintop experiences where we're encouraged, empowered, where we are strengthened to be present when the needs show up. Don't forfeit those opportunities to get together, to encounter God, to change our level of faith. What's your level of faith today? In every one of our lives, I think God wants and desires to use each of us. So as we respond to him, he just wants to do that over and over in our lives And I believe as we respond to him by his Holy Spirit, that just encourages us to be stronger in our walk with him, to be ready when the next person comes along, or to even go looking and saying, God, I believe you're going to use me today, and go looking for those opportunities to do that. Father, thank you today for your word. Father, we read about Jesus and the disciples. And Father, we realize that the disciples didn't get it right all the time. But I believe that they desired to serve and honor yourself. So God, that's what our desire is today. That if you would use us to honor yourself, to bring glory to you, and to point people and lead others to know yourself. So Lord, for those that have raised their hand this morning saying they know some areas that they need to take to get to that next level with yourself, that level of faith that allows us to respond amazingly in situations. So Father, I pray that whatever that is needed, that in this moment, in this mountaintop experience where we ask you and want you to work in our lives, I pray, God, that you would help us to do that. And God, then, as we go out of this place, as we go out to the world around us, we can say with confidence, God, I want to be used of yourself. Whatever comes my way, whatever the request is, I want to honor you. I want to pray with someone so that they can see miracles and things take place in their lives. I want to be a part of what you desire to do in a person, in a community, in our church, those that I come in contact with. So, Father, thank you for your empowerment that enables us to do that. We give you praise for what you've done, what you are doing, and for what you're going to do down the road. What's that level of faith that you want us at? We want to do our best to get there with yourself and to know that you are able to make such an amazing difference in our world, and you desire to do some of that through each one of us. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you accepted Christ for the first time today, we want to help you with next steps. Please email us at prayer@ppclife.ca, and a pastor or volunteer will be in touch with you. We pray that you have a wonderful and safe day or night, and we'll see you soon, church family.